with us today.
Well, praise the Lord. I don't think we're done having church yet, are we? We're just getting started. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be here to share with you the word, but I believe that I wouldn't be here without the intervention of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and also for our pastor and the leadership here of this church who have allowed us to come and share the word. And but I had a vision a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the pastor standing in the midst of garbage as far as you could see. And the garbage was like up to his waist, and he's in there preaching and preaching the truth, and the garbage is not going away. And I'm thinking, what does that mean, Lord? And really what it's saying is what's happening now in our world, and this will be my interpretation, that there is so much garbage in the church. Excuse me, but there's so much garbage in the church. And we need the pastors to stand and preach the truth of God's word regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what's happening in our world. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity. And things I say today, and I could maybe give a disclaimer, but some of it will be maybe my opinions of how I interpret the word of God, but I will use the word of God to base the things that I say, and it will be the foundation of the things I say or the things that I prophesy or speak. I heard the Lord say this morning that the people are running wild. The enemy has fooled people. The enemy has turned people's hearts away from me. This is what the Lord was speaking to me. He said, they don't have any direction in their life. They are looking for something, but as long as they are inspired by the enemy, they will not find peace. And the Lord says, draw people to me because I am the one that will bring peace into their life and will cause the hunger that they have to be filled up and to be satisfied. Praise God. And this is what we endeavor to do. And we thank again for the opportunity of being here. You know, when I was a child, never in my wildest dreams, a little Amish boy, if you will, from Kelowna, Iowa, would I have ever dreamed that I would stand here and speak the word of God to you or travel to the nations of the world like my wife and I do. We normally are somewhere in the world, and this last year, because of the pandemic and all the nations closing down, we've not been able to travel, and we're still waiting. Maybe we could go to Mexico, but we decided not to go to Mexico when it's 120 degrees, so we're waiting that out. But we are ministering in the airwaves, and we're seeing results from that. This last year, some of you already know, we opened up a parochial school and a church in Pakistan, and they've had a very successful year in their school, like 60 students the first year. And many of them are Muslim young people that are coming to hear the word of God and to be taught how to read and write. So praise the Lord. It's exciting to be, I believe, what we would say, in the presence of God. There's no place I would rather be than to be where God wants me to be. And I hope you feel the same. And I believe today that this is an ordained time. It's not by happenstance that you are here. We believe that God has ordained this time, and we want to honor that time. And I know there's some people here. You're here for the first time. Lord bless you. You're welcome. And hopefully the word of God will come in such a way that will help you in whatever you're going through in life. Because God wants to minister to you. Not because of me, but because of him. And as we're open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Holy Spirit flows out of us and into other people's lives to bring strength and to bring power. I've titled a message, and it goes along with what's happening now, to shape it. And I believe that God wants to shape us into an image that brings honor and glory to his name. And many times that's a process. It's steps that God has us take to get to that place where we can be useful in the hands of the master. And I know when I was a young boy, I didn't know very much. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that I was going to travel the world. I probably wasn't that useful at that age. Hopefully today I am more useful. The first verse and the theme verse, well, to shape and means to make something. Somewhere I got a pair of glasses. Hallelujah. But to shape something means to create or create one's form. And I believe that we are at a place where God wants to create us in the shape and a form that brings honor to Him, as I've said before. And so Paul, he opens up, he says, therefore I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's what? The power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's in Romans 1:16. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God that changes people. And when you believe, that power of God comes into your life and you are changed and you're drawn closer to Him. So Paul says, I don't care what's happening. I don't care if I'm in chains. I don't care if I'm in prison. I know that the power of God changes people. And my wife and I have seen that throughout the world. We've seen miracles. We've seen people set free from demon powers. We've seen people healed, legs grow. We've seen garters fall off. We've seen all these different miracles. So, and then the sweet word of God or word of prophecy opens somebody's spirit to receive. We've seen that power flow. And Paul says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So this morning I want to come to you to do a little teaching, a little preaching, and a little demonstration, hopefully, as the Holy Spirit leads. And this is what I desire to do. This is what I love to do because it brings satisfaction not only to my spirit, but I hopefully to your spirit. That we can teach you some things, that we can preach out of the Word of God, and then we can demonstrate the power of God to you. The young man here with the Jesus is Lord on his t-shirt, the Lord spoke to me to give you a word. He says, your enthusiasm is going to turn into a leadership position. He said, your enthusiasm is going to take my word throughout the world because I have put my word within you. And the Lord says, it's coming to life right now. And it's growing and growing. And the young man beside you, I don't know him, but the Lord also says, I have a word for him because he's hungry. And he's wanting to find more and more out about God, but he doesn't know and understand everything. But the Lord says, I'm going to reveal that to you. And pretty soon, everything's going to open up, and you're going to have a great understanding of the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I will preach, I promise, if the Lord lets me. Hallelujah. But there's a young man here. I don't know if you rode in your motorcycle today or not, but not today. But God has His hand on you. There's so many times that you could have been killed and had an accident, but somehow the Holy Spirit led you around those things. The Lord says, I'm just starting. There's some things He's just starting. It's kind of like Isaiah 48 and verse 7 says, I'm creating the new things for you today that were not there yesterday. And the Lord says, I'm doing the new things so that the desires that you have in your life, the prayers that you've prayed over and over and over, that you'll see an answer to those prayers. And when those answers come, there's a fire that's going to come up with inside of you because God has called you not only to be a follower, but to be a leader as well. There's leadership material in your spirit. God wants to use you in these last days. There's a whole group of people that He's calling you to. He's going to bring you into their presence very soon, and the Lord's going to use you mightily. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. There's in a scripture verse I want to use today to start out is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a very popular verse, and everybody pretty well knows it, that has studied the Word of God. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, or if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I want to talk about this new creation for a few moments that is taking place when we pray. You know, according to this verse and according to other verses that we read, there has been a spiritual change in the inner man when we pray, right? Something has happened supernaturally. When we pray the sinner's prayer and ask God to forgive us, to help us live for Him, something changes. The problem is that we are flesh and blood. The problem is we have a sinful nature. And we're still sinners, saved by grace, right? And just because I prayed and when I opened my eyes, it doesn't mean that I have changed physically. And I brought a block of wood. It's kind of a crude piece of wood. It's kind of all got holes in it and varnish on one side, a little paint here. And if I was this block of wood and I prayed when I opened my eyes, I would still be this block of wood, right? But God wants to transform this block of wood into something useful. And so when I've prayed, He's begun to work on me. And He's starting to shape me into something that I really need to be, so that I can be useful in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. But when we pray, I believe that God shows up. That thief that was hanging on the cross beside Jesus, one was making fun of him and said, oh, if you were really who you said you were, we'd be off of this cross. We wouldn't be here. The other one says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you'll be there, right? He says, today you will be with me in paradise. Because his prayer was for salvation. His prayer was to be saved from an eternal damnation. So how do we become what God wants us to be? You know, when we're sinners. When I prayed, my DNA hasn't changed. I still have the same blood, the same DNA, but something spiritually has happened, and I want to address what I believe that God is wanting to look at, is that He has made us and cleansed us, but we need help. So how do we become the image of God? We're going to read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. So we see that we have been created in the image of God, but how do we become the image of God? Because I believe that we have gone a long ways from where we are supposed to be, or I should say maybe I have, I don't know about you, but we are not quite the kind of person that God wants us to be. I'm not getting any amens or not getting any hallelujahs or... When God created Adam and Eve, He created them to perfection. Amen? They were perfect. They also had perfect body parts. There were no blemishes. There were no blind eyes. There were no lame feet. They were perfect, created perfect. Also, Adam and Eve and God had a perfect relationship. It says they communed. There was open conversation. They lived in a perfect place, a place that God had created, called the Garden of Eden, paradise, right? I was reading, and they say that this God, the God that we serve, who created this Garden of Eden, created this perfect place, He didn't only create a few varieties of animals, trees, and landscapes. He designed and created over 1 million living creatures, over 200,000 plants, over 100,000 species of trees, and countless many different rocks and soil and natural resources. And they say that there were probably thousands of fruit trees in that garden bearing fruit. Only one fruit was forbidden. But what an awesome place to be. What an awesome relationship to have with God, and to be in that perfect place, and prayerfully someday all of us will be there in that perfect place again. Hallelujah. We call it heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, if I walk through the woods and went mushroom hunting, man, when I walk through there, I get thistles and briars, and sometimes a big old thorn will stick in my foot. And but for Adam and Eve, there were no bristles, there were no thorns, there were no briars. That perfect place, paradise. This is where, when God begins to shape us, He wants us to be a place that is useful for Him so that we can go to that perfect place. Amen. He wants to make us into something that He can use. Amen. So what happened? We know what happened. In Psalms 51:5, David cries out, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." We start with verse 1, and the psalmist cries out in his sins. I'm going to read it. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." Here we see the psalmist, he's in sin, he's made a mistake in his life, he knows he's done it, he cries out to God for help, and I really like it, what he says in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression." I acknowledge my transgression. Amplified says, "For I am conscious of my transgressions, and I acknowledge them." Here's where we have to start. Knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that we are sinful of nature and that we make a lot of mistakes, when we come to Christ and we say, "I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that I've done wrong. I know that I'm not perfect. Please forgive me." And that's where the beginning starts, right? That's where God can get a hold of us. And He can take something that doesn't look like it's very useful and begin to shape it into something that maybe could be used for something, right? And but what happened to Adam and Eve? They were removed from living in that perfect place. That perfect relationship with God was broken. I believe thorns and thistles started growing, amen? And man started showing signs of imperfection in the body, in the minds. But worst of all, the choices that men were making. And we want to go to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth," amen? "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, a beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." When sin came in, when man sinned, we started making wrong choices. We started doing things that were wrong in the eyes of God. And God said, I'm going to destroy them all. But we go to the next verse, and I didn't have them write it down. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he lived righteous before the Lord in all of the wickedness that choices that men were making." Noah made the right choices. He lived righteous. And we know that God instructed him to build an ark, and we say that it probably took 120, maybe longer, to build that ark. And all of that time, the earth was still generally wicked, and there was violence and murders and everything going on. But Noah lived righteously before God. And in chapter 7, I think verse 1, he says, "Enter into the ark. Now it's your time." Hallelujah. It's your time because you have stayed faithful. Hallelujah. So how far from perfection have we fallen? How far? So what's happening now? And that's our theme, been the theme for this month. Pastor started out with taking a look at what's happening in our world and things that are going on in our world. So we want to look at things happening in our world and maybe starting with your life and my life, or my life and your life too also. But first of all, do you believe that the Bible is true, that it's God's word? Amen. All of it? Amen. And that it's relevant for today, for us today? Amen. It's not some ancient book that doesn't apply to us, that we believe that God's word is true today. Hallelujah. And I believe that it should be our instruction book for the day that we're living in. Amen. In our country today, Pastor Sonny said it really good last week, tolerance, cover up, lies, deceit, false reports, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. That's what's being spoken to us through the news media, through different areas of things that we get. But I believe it's time to get the truth out, to preach the gospel, amen, to preach all of it, to preach its contents, because it's relevant for today. I was doing some looking on Google and different sites. It said that crime was up 21% in the first quarter of this year, 2021. Murder is on the rise. Last weekend in Chicago, there were 55 shootings. 5 people died, and they don't know that possibly some of the others were dying as well. And I know that even in Cedar Rapids, there's murders and shootings almost. Shootings or crime of some kind every night almost. Drug abuse is on the rise. It says that 774,000 Americans use meth. About 16,000 of those are between the ages of 12 and 17. In 2017, 195,000 Americans used meth for the first time. About 5 million Americans are regular cocaine users. About 30 to 40 million Americans smoke marijuana every year. Almost 21 million Americans have at least one addiction, whether it's alcohol, opioids, or cocaine, yet only 10% receive treatment. That's a lot of mess. That's a lot of garbage, right? That's a lot of mess. Abortion in the USA since 1973 to today, over 60 million babies have been aborted, murdered. I like to use the word murder because it's killing. That's what they have done. And the World Health Organization says that from 40 to 50 million babies are aborted every year in the world. We'll get a little touchy maybe here, but the LGBT group in 2017, there was 4.5% of the people in the U.S. Today, in 2020, now they're 5.6%. So we see the increase, it's rising. And it was kind of funny, it said, what is the gayest country in the world? And Sweden came up. And the gayest city, it was San Francisco. And people are asking us to turn our head and look the other way. The world is saying, it's okay, look the other way. Church, look the other way. Believers, look the other way. We're just supposed to do nothing and let this group of people continue to grow. But do you know, and I know you do, but these people recruit. They recruit other people to join them, and it's usually young girls and young boys. And we're supposed to look the other way. I'm telling you, God died for them, and Jesus gave his life for them as well as for ours. But it's a sin. People need the Lord. We used to sing that song. People need the Lord. Hallelujah. In 2010, it was estimated that 50,000 people in our world died daily, every day, without hearing about Jesus, knowing about the gospel, knowing about God's love and grace. 50,000 people a day in our world. Nicole was sharing with us a month ago about the Middle East and how so many of those countries, they don't know anything about the Lord. But do you know that if you take 50 million people, 50,000 people a day, that it ends up being like 18 million souls a year that are dying without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, without even hearing about the gospel. Now, in my lifetime, 50 to 70 years ago, the church was trying to decide whether somebody who was divorced could be in leadership. And they were voting on that. And today now, they're voting on whether or not LGBT person can be behind the pulpit and preach the word. And even some mainline organizations are voting whether or not a transgender can be a pastor. When we first got married and we were doing youth camps, and we had a man we didn't know that was recommended to come us to be our speaker for youth camp, and he had an earring with a cross on it. And we just had a fit because, how can this man teach our kids when he has an earring in his ear? Oh, have we lost our focus? Church, have we lost our focus? I believe a lot of churches have, and I'm believing that this church has not. But all over the world, laws are being passed to come against the foundation that was laid by Jesus Christ and the foundation this church has been laid on, and the Pentecostal movement that we've had to build this church, whether it's to worship the Lord or to speak freely about the gospel. New liberal leaders just recently have been voted into office all over the world. Guess what's going to take place? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to awaken you. And Jesus said something that is so important to remember in John 15, verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And we see what is taking place, that Jesus is coming back very soon. Amen. Everything is lining up. Things have been prophesied. You believe God's word is true, relevant for today? That Jesus, God's Son, came into this earth, lived a perfect life, sinless life, was crucified on the cross, died in 3 days, rose again, went to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Amen. We believe that. Amen. Do you believe that after you accept Jesus as Savior of your life, that there are changes you need to make? You know, we can't stay the same. Maybe your language, maybe your relationship, your friends you hang around with, places you go, your habits. We believe it. We believe that this is something that God wants us to change. Many years ago, there was a young man came to a church when Shirley's father was a pastor of Full Gospel Revival Center in Kelowna, Iowa, and a young man came and gave his heart to the Lord, and he was a doctor in town's son, and he was working with a group of people, and he went back and said, hey, I'm giving my life to the Lord. You know how you are when you first get saved, you're all enthusiastic. And they said, well, we're Christians too. He didn't know that because of their actions, the way that they lived and the way that they spoke. Do people see us as someone strange, or do they see us as someone that they want to be a part of? Now, I can say this because I was one or am one, but the Amish are different from the world, and they dress different because they believe when people look at them that they see them as Christians. see, I don't see them as Christians. I see them as someone that is trying to be different from the rest of the world, and someone who has no discernment would feel the same. Now, if you talk to most of them, you understand that they have a relationship with the Lord. Many of them do. But can we dress and act in a way that when people see us, they know that we're different by the spirit that comes off of us, by the aroma that we give? A couple of weeks ago, I was worshiping, and I smelled something that was a terrible stench. And the Lord was giving me something that he was smelling. And he said, from most of my churches, there comes this terrible odor. But he said, I have come over your church and I have stopped because there's a sweet smell coming forth. Now that sounds a little far out, but it's what the Lord showed me. And Pastor, as he prayed, Mark prayed about the fact that our worship, prayerfully our worship, was a sweet smell to the Lord this morning. And I believe that it was. Hallelujah. You believe that marriage is sacred. It's God's plan that a man and a woman get married, to get joined together. And anything outside of that marriage, living together, sexual relationship, is called sin in God's word. I mean, we all agreed that God's word was true, right? We go to a church in Argentina, northern Argentina, and many of the people, it's been the culture that a man and woman just live together, they raise their families, live together, never get married. But this church, when they come to church and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have a class teaching them on marriage. And in Argentina, to be legally married, you have to go to the Justice of Peace and get your certificate, and they have a little ceremony for you, and then they come back to the church and have a wedding. And we've been there different years where they've had these people standing up here and said they're just getting married. And one couple was living together for 40 years. And they finally got married, and they dressed, the ladies of church dressed her all up real nice. And it was really an awesome experience. But the judge, the Justice of Peace, he says, I know what church you're coming from. He said, I have issued over 100 different marriage licenses, and I all came from that church. What a testimony. What a testimony. I want to read something out of the Bible, out of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are clear, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's very plain. This is God's word. This is what he's speaking. That we need to live according to the word of God. Hallelujah. And I could say, hello, did I lose anyone? I'm just speaking the word of God. I didn't write these words. They're a part of your Bible. Hallelujah. And you agreed earlier that God's word was true and relevant for today, right? So what has changed? Because I believe when you follow the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, say this happened. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. The New Living, verse 24, says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Verse 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. A Hello? We can't just do part of it. We have to believe that the whole Word of God is true for us. So what has changed? Is it our culture, our world, in the teaching and the preaching of God's Word behind the pulpit? What has changed? And how far have we veered from the truth of God's Word? How far have we fallen away, should we say, from what God has established in the very beginning? A long ways, I'm afraid. But pastors are afraid to speak the truth because they might lose their job, Pastor Mark. If you get up here and preach the truth, they might say, bye-bye, Pastor Mark. But not in this church. Hallelujah. By the way, the Lord has a word for you. He says, I've seen the desires of your hearts, both of you, has gone higher and higher with me, the Lord says. And he says, I have been able to teach you so much in the last couple of months. You're so smart and already so intelligent, I'll put that does my words. How could the Lord teach you anything else? But the Lord says, I'm putting things within your life that is going to cause people's ears to open up. It's like they pop open that have been deaf. And when you speak, those ears open and the Word of God is going into their lives. Hallelujah. The Lord says, because you have taken that journey with me, I'm able to do that for you. Hallelujah. For both of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. My wife and I went to a couple of weddings a few years ago, and all they talked about was love, love, love. Love, love, love. Nothing about Christ being the head of the home. Nothing about serving one another through good and through the bad. It's just love, love, love. If you love them, you'll make it love, 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 right? That's against God's word. It seems to be good, but the things that were important to believers a few years back don't seem to be important anymore. And the Lord is saying, stand up, church. It's time to arise. It's time to get serious about what I am saying. Hallelujah. Stop whitewashing my word. That's what the Lord is saying. Stop watering down the word. Preach the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. So how do we change? We get back to the truth of God's word, amen? Or do we feel the need to change? Maybe you're happy and comfortable the way you are. Maybe we don't need to change. But we are being shaped every day. And sadly to say, to a culture that is anti-God, anti-Christ spirit. So God speaks to Jeremiah and he says, I want you to go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah 18, chapter 18 and verse 1. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. And I believe that's kind of where the church is today. The church has been in the hands of the potter, and he's made a vessel, but it seems like the vessel is marred. The question is, will we allow him to remake us? Will we allow him to put us back on the wheel and shape us into something that he wants us to be? As I progressed, let's see, where did they put it? We had a shape that was kind of crude, and now as I've worked on it, we have a shape that looks like it could be useful for something, because the sandpaper's rubbed on it pretty hard. You know, sometimes we don't like the adjustment we get from the Lord because it hurts a little. It's a little painful. But this piece of wood wouldn't be this shape if it wouldn't been held on that sanding disc for a while, right? And so it's important that we embrace the touch of God and the plan of God for our life. But we are being shaped every day either by the Lord or by the culture that we live in. And I believe that we want to be in the hands of God and let him shape. And you know what? Then God said, I'm going to give you my words as you go to the potter's house. And God began to open up to Jeremiah all the things that Israel needed to hear, but they didn't want to hear it. And you have to read the rest of the chapter. And later on, they persecuted Jeremiah. They were finding ways to do ill to his life because he preached the truth of God's word. And it goes back to those verses Jesus said, if the world hates you, it hates me, it's going to hate you too. Because if you preach the truth, it's not a good message. It's not a message that people want to hear today because they want to do their own thing. And some of us get included in that. But if we want to change, we have to do what God tells us to do. There are two ways that we're being shaped: in the presence of God or in the presence of our environment. There's many ways we're being shaped. Those two ways I talk about. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, be not conformed, what, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If our culture where we live or where we live around isn't godly, then we want to be vessels of honor or something that God can use, then I believe that we have to move. I'm not necessarily talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. We have to get out of the natural into the realm of the Spirit, into God's presence, into the place where the Holy Spirit can speak to us. The power of the Holy Spirit can help us. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the strength, and where the truth of God's word comes alive. Hallelujah. Because God said, it's my word that will set you free. If you're bound up today, then we need to hear the word of God. The problems, we don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be put to the sanding block. But James has a really good word for us. James 1, 2 to 4, he says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Woo. I'm really happy that I'm going through this. No, we're not. It's a tough time. It's a difficult time. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when God gets a hold of us and runs us through those different steps of life, and we complain and scream and say it's not fair, God is doing something within that we didn't even realize he was doing. And when we come out of that fire, we're a vessel that is honorable to the Lord. Hallelujah. I always say the fire either burns you up or purifies you. It's true. And we need the purity, church. We don't need to be burned up because God has a plan for us. God has a work for us to do. We need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to be vessels of honor that carry the word of God perfectly. Hallelujah. The psalmist again, we're going to go back to Psalms 51, verse 5. It says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh. But in verse 10, let's go to verse 10. He cries out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalms 51, verse 10. Verse 11 says, cast me not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David knew that only God's presence, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would be able to be restored and be changed and created into the man that God wanted him to be. You know, earlier David, the shepherd boy, went down to the stream and he was fighting against Goliath, that Philistine that was defying God's army. And he went to the stream and he picked out 5 smooth stones and put them in his pocket along with his sling. You know how those stones became smooth? The rushing of the water, the rubbing of each other against each other, the stones, the friction, all of a sudden, all of those problems caused those stones to be perfect, to be put in a slingshot and used for the glory of God. And I believe that God is putting us sometimes in areas where we rub shoulders with people that we don't necessarily like or don't agree with, but we are being shaped and formed into something that is very useful for the kingdom of God, if we allow ourselves to be used that way. Some of us just want to be the rock sitting on the bank. We don't want to be moved. I shall not be moved, right? Oh, that's a different song. Okay. If we make mistakes, see, David knew that he had to get back to the Lord. He did a terrible thing. He knew it in his heart. He acknowledged his wrongdoing. And he said, I have to get back to the Lord. I acknowledge my sin. And he cries out, create in me something that I really need, a new heart, O Lord, and a right spirit within me. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me, because without your Holy Spirit, I won't function. And really, that is so true today. And I believe when we make mistakes today, and if we want to change, then we have to embrace the Word of God. And the only way to be shaped and renewed is by our repentance. Hallelujah. Coming back to God, asking for forgiveness, petitioning Him to renew in us the right spirit. Worship team, you can come back. Hallelujah. Now, God's not finished with us yet, and probably won't ever be finished with us till we breathe our last breath. I think of Pastor Stevens, who gave this church foundation and preached the truth of God's word. He's backed off, and he doesn't want to be involved too much. But the Lord's saying, you're here for a good reason, because I'm not done with you yet. And that's really the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's not done with us yet. And we're being shaped into something that God can use. What do we look like? Like some molded image, some idol? Or do we look like sons and daughters of the Most High, someone that has a joyful spirit and a loving spirit, a forgiving spirit, one that's full of peace and joy? And people gravitate to that, because when you're going through a terrible time and you are joyful in that, knowing that God is working something out within you, and they look at you and say, you must be crazy, but how can you be happy? I want what you have, brother. I want what you have, sister. Many years ago, we were being sued by some people. And the lawyer, we come meet with the lawyer before we go to the judge. And as we're done with the judge and we go back into the office, the lawyer looks at us. He says, I don't know what just happened, but I've never met any people that get drugged through the and come out smelling like a rose. But see, we proclaimed that God was going to take care of us. Before we went in, the first time we met with him, we proclaimed that every time we were with him, that God was our God, and that we believed whatever happened, we would trust him. God is trying to increase our faith level. He's trying to get us to believe that the Word of God is relevant for us today, and that we must stand on that Word, and if we do, that we will be saved. Hallelujah. That we will be in raising up and rising up as people that God can use in this last day, regardless what of our environment is. We'll talk about Daniel for a moment and the three Hebrew children. They were captives. They were captured and taken out of their freedom into a place where they were controlled. And the king liked them, and he wanted them to serve him, but they refused. Daniel said, we're not going to eat that garbage you're feeding the king. We're not going to eat his food. We're going to make a standard here for ourselves. And after the time that they were in preparation, they were 10 times fairer and better shaped than the people that were eating the king's food. That should be a lesson for us.
That's right.
And then, because of their belief in God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because of their belief, they would not bow to their culture. We're not going to bow to that statue. They were throwing what? Into the fiery furnace. And they weren't burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. But the people that threw them in the fire were burned up. That's our God. Not only did they show that God was real, they changed the nation. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, but the lions didn't hurt him. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. But this Daniel with us here The Lord says you're growing. And usually when we get older, we shrink. But he said, in the spirit, I'm increasing your knowledge to the place where you will be very intelligent when people talk to you. You already are, but the Lord said, I'm going to put a supernatural intelligence into your spirit that when you open your mouth, you're going to say things you didn't realize you were going to say, and that people's ears would be opened. I saw that with Pastor Mark, but he said, when you speak to some of your friends who don't know anything about Jesus, they're going to start hearing and listening. And for that reason, God says, I've called you up. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Their faith changed a nation. The nation didn't change them. You need to read that again in Daniel. Open your Bibles. Because they stood on the word of God and said, it don't matter if you kill us. We're not going to bow to your image. We're not going to do your things. That God showed up and took care of them. And the kings repented and said, now I want everybody in this nation, I want you to follow the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or follow the God of Daniel. They didn't know who that God was yet, but at a time they found a relationship with him. Their faith changed the nation. Can you hear me? Their faith changed the nation. What will our faith do in this nation, in this city? Can we change a nation? Or are we letting the environment change us? We use the word dumbing us down. There's a lot of things that are happening all over the world. Romans 1, I don't have time to read it, but if you begin reading it, verse 18 through 32, it talks about all the things that are going on today. And it talks about women and men doing wrong things. But it even goes beyond that. It goes to murders and envy, hatred and strife. But Romans 1:32, it's who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are observing of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The Amplified says, yet not only do them, but they even enthusiastically approve and tolerate others who practice them. When the rest of the world says it's okay for you to live in sin, we, the church, cannot approve of that. We cannot tolerate that. I'm sorry, that's what the Word of God says. Because if we tolerate it, what did I say? Yet not only do them, but they even enthusiastically approve and tolerate others who practice them. We can't practice them. We can't tolerate. We have to speak the truth of God's word. Let the truth bring the conviction. Let the life that we live bring conviction. Let the words of our mouth, the testimony of our mouth bring conviction. See, Jesus is coming back very soon. And I believe that we're living in the last days. And I'm going to close. I have like 24 closings. That's the way that real estate agents, I think they have 48 closings. But 2 Timothy 3, you know, verses 1 to 5 says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slander, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And from such people turn away. In the last days. Are we seeing any of this, guys? Are we seeing any of this, church? We're seeing all of it. And he says, don't be a part of it. From those people turn away. Now what does that mean, turn away? Don't agree with them. Doesn't mean don't witness to them. Don't agree with them. Hallelujah. Jeremy, there was a time in your life you thought you were sunk below the level that God could ever use you. But we know God has redeemed you and restored you. The Lord says, now I'm asking you to take another step because I have more for you that I'm releasing into even those fingers, but into your mind. The Lord said, I'm going to bless you in ways you thought were past, ways that I had blessed you in the past, you thought were over, but the Lord says, I'm renewing you now. I'm going to release those blessings back into your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that word. We exalt thee. I don't know if that's a good song or not. I don't know what you have planned. Go ahead with whatever you had planned, but
you want me to end with we exalt thee?
Yeah. I think we need to all stand and let the Lord exalt the Lord together. I could go on and on. In Ezekiel 38:39, it tells that Israel will be attacked from a nation from the north, gathering with its allies. Oh, by the way, I did finish that rough sketch, and now it's called a toaster tong, and you can put it in the toaster and pull the toast out, or in a pickle jar and pull the pickles out, and it looks pretty good, but I tell you, it took a lot of little rubbing and sanding to make it that. But it's very useful now. That block of wood was really nothing, you know. This block of wood, no, nothing more than hit you on the head. Ouch, that hurt. But this is useful in the kingdom of God. House. But I want to be a vessel that God can use. I want to be a vessel that the anointing is on. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm going to try something I've never tried before in this church, but I have the anointing oil. And I want to see what it does to this piece of wood. But I really think it will change a little bit of the looks of it. I have to wipe it off when we get done here. Huh? Ooh, it's bringing out the color. It's bringing out something really nice. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's the anointing that makes us shine. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that adds flavor to us. And now, it's something I wouldn't be ashamed of hanging in my kitchen because it's got a little oil on it, and it looks like something I could use. I believe that God wants us to be a part of His work. And if you're here today, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to get involved in His work? You know, you've had three different sessions here of how to win souls. Are you ready to put it into practice? I hope you are. If you're here today and you say, I don't know how, I didn't go to those meetings, and you want to know how, we invite you to come to the altar and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because I believe He is the one that changes you. Hallelujah. Pastor Mark, I'd like to give you guys a gift here that you can use in your home, and if that gets marred, you put a little cooking oil on it, it'll keep its shape. Hallelujah. Let God work on you. Let Him sand down the rough edges. Let Him shape you into something that He can use. Because He's done with you. The Bible says when He's done with you, you're perfect and able to be used by God. I want to be that kind of vessel. I want you to be that kind of vessel. We have a world out there that's dying without Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. 50,000 people a day. That's staggering. That doesn't even seem real. Equals 18 billion people, 18 million, not to get too big here, 18 million a year or more. We have a work to do because Jesus is coming back. And those that don't know Christ are not going to make it. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. That's what the Bible teaches us. They're going to eternal hell, and we have a word that needs to get out. Amen? Thank you for listening. Go ahead. Let's worship the Lord as we close.